seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, and the last part of verse 5. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, and the last part of the 5th verse. But our sufficiency is of God. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, and the last part of verse 5. But our sufficiency is of God. The dear apostle Paul was wonderfully anointed to minister to the church in Corinth. We find there was much concern and exercise in his heart regarding going into Corinth. He had heard of the sin and idolatry and wickedness there was in that city. But the Lord gave him a gracious determination. It was not a natural determination. It was the determination of grace and of faith given by God. Because he says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And oh, may we, as we venture into this today, be given, each of us, that gracious determination. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when we're determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why did the apostle have that deep in his heart? It was because the Lord Jesus was the one thing that was needful to him. The Lord Jesus had been made very precious to him as his Saviour, his Redeemer, his all and in all. And there was nothing else for him to live for, only to preach that glorious gospel of the dear Redeemer. He says, doesn't he, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And the hymn we have just sung echoed it beautifully, didn't it? "Give me Christ, or else I die." And that is what he desired for his own soul, and that's what he desired for those he ministered to in Corinth, that the Lord Jesus might be the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely one to each one of them. But in his letters to the church here in Corinth and in this second epistle, he speaks much of correction, and there's no doubt there were many things he had seen in visiting them again that troubled him. And he speaks so faithfully to them. You know, the Lord will ever honour a God-given faithful ministry. And this is why the Lord so used the dear apostle in ministering here and in so many of the other churches that he ministered to. But there's one thing that we need to remember, and that is that as he writes the letters to them. Though they were searching, though they were very discriminating, yet there was love in them all. What his great exercise was for the souls of those that were in Corinth, in the church there and in the city, that they might not rest on any false foundation. They got to be brought out of all the sin and idolatry they had been in, and they got to be found resting on Christ the solid rock. Many of them were satisfied with the law, and they were in bondage because of it. But he directs them to the dear Lord Jesus, who fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle, as that sure foundation stone. And not only were they to be delivered from the wickedness and sin of the city and the attractions of it, they got to be delivered from all false religion. You see, the dividing line went right through the city of Corinth as Paul preached to them and wrote to them. They'd either got a real religion that God was the author of and the finisher of, or they'd got a religion that rested on works or on their own natural thoughts of religion. You see, there's only two types of religion we have in this nation, many varied denominations. But you know, when it comes to reality, there's only two sorts of religion. And that is a religion that is God-given, or a religion that comes from the devil. And that's very searching and very solemn, you know. And we're either in one category of it or we're the other. And this is what Paul so faithfully declared in Corinth. But he brings home to them here, and it's what I want to look at as helped, a searching question, first of all, which is found in the previous chapter, what we read together, thinking of his ministry, thinking of what they were in Corinth, those he wrote to in the church. And let us ever remember, it's written to the church in Corinth. It wasn't just written to all men. Those that had professed the Lord's name. And what question does he put to them? And who is sufficient for these things? Our text is the wonderful answer to that. And the apostle was to know it in his own soul, and he desired it for all those that he writes to. But our sufficiency is of God. Now, the first thing we want as help to look at is this. Who is sufficient for these things? Immediately, the Lord begins his work in the sinner's heart. He brings them to see their insufficiency. You know, the apostle could speak this from experience, because he had been brought up under the most straitest sect of religion. And he lived as a Pharisee. He thought he was sufficient, and naturally speaking, the ability was in him, the schooling had been in him. He was a master in the law. As it came to Moses' holy law, he knew it in every jot and tittle. And yet, he was brought to see that all the sufficiency that he thought he'd got was all vain. Why? Because the Lord had emptied him of all that religion that he'd just grown up in and grown accustomed to. And the Lord killed him of it all. So he couldn't rest in it. There was only one place where the Lord brought him to rest, and that was in the finished work of his dear Redeemer. You know, if we think we're sufficient for these things, Paul was speaking particularly concerning his ministry, and he immediately felt his insufficiency, because he knew what it was to come where the publican did, as a poor, needy sinner, dependent upon the Lord. There was nothing in himself that was sufficient to satisfy a holy God. Who is sufficient for these things? And he felt more and more, and I believe the older he got, the more he felt it. And I can truly say from an honest heart before God this morning, the older I get, the more insufficient I feel for these things. But you see, when we are taught our insufficiency and how poor and helpless and wretched and vile we are, the more dependent we are upon the Lord. And what a mercy it is. There's the poor sinner, you and I, empty, vile, black, poor, needy sinner. But in the Lord, there's a blessed sufficiency for such characters. And you think of the dear publican who the Lord taught so much his sin, so much his vileness, so much the corruption of his heart. He didn't feel even sufficient to lift up his eyes unto heaven in and of himself. He couldn't. But smote upon his breast. That's where the trouble was. That's where the burden was. That's where he felt the sin. It was all within him. And yet the Lord, what did he do? In his love and in his mercy, he directs him away from himself, away from all men, to the blessed sufficiency there is in the Lord Jesus. What did he need? Well, immediately you would say, and so would I, he needed mercy, that is true. But what he really needed in God's mercy was all the sin that troubled him to be removed. And he couldn't do it himself, could he? And no man could do it. Not even the most excellent of ministers. The apostle had to learn he could not do it. But the point is this. There was only one that could, who was sufficient to save that poor publican, save you and save me from all our sins. And that's the dear Lord Jesus. And at this juncture, I just want to lead you back through the Old Testament. You know, under the Levitical law, they had to choose from the flock one of the best lambs, not just any lamb, the best lambs to be offered as a sacrifice for sin. It must be the best in the flock. And that was a beautiful illustration of the dear Lord Jesus. But the point is this, it was never sufficient, though it was God's commandment, to take away one sin. There was no sufficiency in it. It was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus, but it wasn't sufficient. And it won't be sufficient for you or for me if we are resting on just the Levitical law. It was God's commandment, thou shalt do this. And they had to do it. But you see, God in his time, in the fullness of time, we read, God was to send his beloved Son. No other was sufficient to come into this earth to redeem his dear children, black, vile sinners. That blood, and I speak it with much reverence, that was shed from that best lamb could never take away any sin, but it had to be offered as a commandment by God. And what was all this to do? Throughout the Old Testament, those wonderful types of Christ there were, right the way through the Old Testament, they were all to direct the child of God to the glorious coming of his beloved Son. They were the means in God's hand to direct them to look to a far greater sacrifice. And oh, you think, what a great mercy it is. There is in the Lord Jesus that blessed sufficiency to remove by the shedding of his precious blood the blackest and vilest of sins that there are in the hearts of his dear people. No other blood was sufficient. What are we seeing in that beautiful hymn where the dear hymn writer so beautifully sets forth the great need of the precious blood of Jesus? Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than thine. But let me come low, child of God. Do you feel to need the Lord to remove all that sin that troubles you? No man is sufficient to remove it, is it? You cannot remove it yourself. But our sufficiency is of God. And you look how the dear apostle had to look to that blessed sufficiency that there is in the dear Lord Jesus and in his precious blood to cleanse from all sin. I often quote that word, as many of you will know, of dear John, and he said, "But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Notice the wording of that, all sin. It's beautifully sufficient, sinner, isn't it? And if the Lord favour you with a taste of that in your soul, you'll know what it is for all the sins that trouble you to be removed. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to look back to Calvary and to think of when Jesus, and I speak it very reverently, shed that precious blood, it was to cleanse the whole church of God, that is, all that the Father had given him, those that had all gone before throughout the Old Testament, those that were in the earth, and those that were yet to be born, from all sin. Oh, no other blood will ever be sufficient but that precious blood of Jesus. Well could dear Joseph Iron say in the closing hymn in our book, "'Tis Jesus' precious blood." Now let me come low. Have you and have I a sacred interest in it? Our sufficiency is of God. It's all found in him, you see. Nothing in the sinner. And the apostle was, though his ministry was so used and so blessed, and so many even in Corinth loved him for the truth's sake, he directs them away from himself, away from all his own ability, to the dear Lord Jesus. And who is sufficient for these things? And then he could well say, but our sufficiency is of God. There may be one here that has something before you, and you will look at it and you may say, "Lord, but I'm not sufficient." You know, it's often felt with the real followers of the Lord Jesus, and I seek to be led into this. Those that really love him and desire to follow him, they feel so much their insufficiency. You know, every time the real follower of Christ thinks of the path of following the Lord, they say immediately, "Lord, but we're not sufficient. We cannot ourselves." But what does the word direct us to? The fullness there is in the Lord Jesus. And the sufficiency that you need to follow the Lord is not in yourself, but it's all in your dear Redeemer. Oh, it is. All in a precious Christ. There's nothing lacking in him for what the sinner will need. What did the apostle say to the church in Colossae? "And it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." And you see, you can draw from that fullness all that you need. Who is sufficient then for these things? You know, when the dear disciples were commissioned to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, as they were to go forth, they were given power to cast out devils. They were given power to heal the sick. And they were given these powers by God. The sufficiency to do them was not in themselves, and they had to learn that. The sufficiency they needed on each occasion must come from the Lord. And you think of when Peter, James and John came down with the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, from the Mount of Transfiguration. They came down into a valley of tears. Oh, they did. There was affliction, there was trouble, there was distress. And we read in Mark chapter 9 that there came to the Lord Jesus a man whose son Satan was out to destroy. And what did Satan do to the lad? He cast him into the fire. He cast him into the water, trying to destroy him. Here was one of God's children. And if you've got a real religion and I have, Satan will do all he can to try and destroy the child of God. And what he's trying to do is to destroy God's work in them. He's fighting against God. Satan is. Well, in that case, what do we read? The dear man, he took the child to the disciples. They'd been given power to cast out devils. But on this occasion they couldn't, could they? He said to the Saviour, he took the lad to the disciples, but they couldn't cure him. They couldn't deliver him. And there was a reason for it. And we find it really here. You see, they couldn't cast out the devil because of their unbelief. And you see, they had to learn that their sufficiency must come from God. Now, there was only one that could deliver that child, and that was the Lord Jesus. And you look how wonderfully the Lord did it. The dear Saviour, you see, so much love in the heart of Christ in that case. He inquired, how long ago has this been upon him? And the dear father said, didn't he, of a child. And it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But what did the dear father say? If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's what he says to Jesus. But what did Jesus say to the dear man? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, in that dear father, in the disciples, in and of themselves, they were insufficient, weren't they? The disciples were insufficient. They couldn't deliver the child. The dear man couldn't believe, and nor could the disciples in and of themselves because of the insufficiency. But as soon as the Lord Jesus gave that dear father faith, then the child was to be delivered. You may feel this morning, and this is the point, so insufficient because of the lack of faith in you. What do we read when Jesus said to the dear man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth? And the dear man said with tears, didn't he? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And where did he draw the sufficiency from that he so needed, the sufficiency of faith? He drew it all from the dear Redeemer. Oh, he did. It was not in him, you see. Who is sufficient for these things? And immediately, what did the Saviour do? He cast the devils out of that dear child and set the child at liberty. And it may be you feel today so insufficient. But poor soul, let me direct you to the sufficiency there is in the dear Redeemer. And well could the apostle say to those in Corinth, but our sufficiency is of God. There was no doubt about this in the apostle's heart, was it? You know, we cannot rest, if we're the children of God, on our sufficiency, because it'll all prove vain. The Lord will bring his dear children where he did the apostle here. The only place of sufficiency to rest upon is in the dear Redeemer. All that he accomplished at Calvary. Who is sufficient then for these things? Is that the question in your heart this morning? It may be something that, well, even in our daily tasks, we know in this solemn day in which we live, the theme, like in interviews, is a person has got to promote themselves, which is absolutely contrary to what really should happen. But that is the day in which we live. They've got to promote themselves. If you go for an interview, they say, well, are you sufficient? Can you do this? Can you do that? And they want you to boast yourself or boost yourself up to do the thing. But you know, the Lord teaches his people completely different than that. He teaches them their emptiness, their vileness, their sin. And there's nothing in themselves. What did the apostle say when writing to the Romans? That in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And so well could he write to the church here in Corinth and say, who is sufficient for these things? Because he felt his insufficiency, as I've tried to set before you. But he directs them to where his sufficiency is. And the reason the Lord so blessed his ministry was because all the sufficiency, what he needed in his ministry, to exhort a precious Christ, to exhort them to faith, to exhort them to love, to exhort them to seek the Lord, and so on, we may name a whole list, must all come from the Lord. But there's a word that seems to keep bubbling up in one's heart, and it's this. What the Lord taught his dear disciples. And it's a lesson the apostle had to learn. It's a lesson that every one of us will have to learn. Jesus said to them before he went to Calvary, without me, ye can do nothing. See, many times we think we can do this and think we can do that. But the Lord may send an affliction upon us and we cannot. He may send circumstances so we cannot. We're dependent upon him. This is what the Lord Jesus was teaching his dear disciples, to be wholly dependent upon him. But as he gives strength and help and grace, which we will have to draw from the dear Redeemer, we can do all things. Oh, we can. What did the apostle say on another occasion? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, poor soul, whatever you may have before you, it may be something in a natural pathway, your occupation. I remember when I was offered the job in the accounts department and of all the transport in the company that I worked for, I immediately felt, though it was an honour to be asked to do it, I immediately felt my insufficiency. And I remember the interview, I said to them, well, in and of myself, I don't feel equipped to do it. But if it's your request, and as the Lord helps me, I'll venture. And it was a venture upon the Lord. And the Lord wonderfully honoured it. And each day I used to go in and I think, now, really, am I sufficient for this? And I had to say to myself, well, I'm not, and say to the Lord. But as the Lord gave me that strength and help and wisdom to do it, you think of Solomon. What did the Lord say to him? Ask what I shall give them. Look at the wisdom the Lord gave him what to ask for. A wise and understanding heart. You think in your heart and mine this morning, do you ask for this, Lord? Give me a wise and understanding heart. The world would ask for all wealth and pleasure and the things to suit the flesh, wouldn't they? But Solomon didn't. If Solomon for wisdom prayed, the Lord before had made him wise. Else he another choice had made and asked for what the world implies. That sufficiency you need for wisdom, for grace, or whatever it may be, must come from the Lord. Oh, it must. Our sufficiency. There was no doubt in the apostle's heart where he stood in this. Our sufficiency. We feel, Lord, our unworthiness. We feel insufficient of ourselves. But, oh, there is a blessed sufficiency. And it's in the dear Redeemer. We hope to sing in a moment, all sufficient is our Saviour. And what a mercy it is in 2014. All that the sinner needs and all the sufficiency they need is found in a precious Christ. And you know, that sufficiency will never diminish. Oh no. Things of time fade, don't they? Things of time get old. Things of time, like our clothing and things, fail, don't they? But this sufficiency will never fail. And nor will the Christian's hope fail that's centred in the dear Redeemer. but I must leave it. May this sacred text be sealed home to each of our hearts, that we might be able to say, each of us personally, our sufficiency is of God. And if it's of God, poor soul, he must have the glory. This is why, you see, the Lord, if I may just add this before I leave it, if the sufficiency was in you or in me, what had happened? We'd take to ourselves the praise, wouldn't we? We'd take to ourselves the glory. But the apostle directs those in Corinth away from taking anything to themselves, to give God the glory and to give him all the praise, because the sufficiency is of God. He's worthy of it all the honour, all the glory, all the praise. Amen.